This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
She just died? Wow. I didn't know that. I just, you're telling me now for the first time. She led an amazing life. What else can you say? She was an amazing woman. Whether you agreed or not, she was an amazing woman who led an amazing life.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
The very last dying wish of RBG was that her vacancy not be filled until the new president takes office.
RBG's last wish, that she be replaced when a new president is installed.
What would you like to see the Senate do?
I would like to see the court have a full house by the time this term ends.
You'd like to see the court have a full house?
Have nine members.
Well, there you have it, people.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Welcome to the nation's Constitution Center. I had the great privilege of being a guest leader of this outfit for a year.
Are you out of breath from saying one sentence?
Even if President Trump wants to put forward a name now, the Senate should not act until after the American people select their next president.
We should engage fully in the constitutional process of advice and consent. And my consistent understanding of the Constitution has been the Senate must do so as well.
Unchained and unstoppable.
I will be putting forth a nominee next week. It will be a woman.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Trump's in Ohio right now speaking of Vandalia. I think it's a suburb of Dayton. And he's really enjoying himself. We'll get to it a little bit later. First, I wanted to check in with a very interesting story out of Vermont. Vermont grocery store employee fired after stopping robbery and recovering purse. You know, I always say no good deed goes unpunished. And Amir Shedyak can tell us about it this afternoon. He worked for the Hannaford supermarket in Essex for 4 years before the incident. And he's joining us now on the show, and I'll let him tell you what happened. Amir, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show. Are you there? Did we lose him? No, I guess we lost him. All right. Amir, we'll get back to Amir in just a moment. A Vermont grocery store clerk claims that he was fired after he tried to stop a purse snatching, according to a report by a local TV station. Amir Shadyak, are you there? Okay, Amir, are you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Tell us what happened here, how you lost your job at the Hannafords in Essex.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. I never would have thought, you know, doing such a good deed would result in getting fired, but it was, you know, just like any normal day. I just went into work, you know, just clocked in, and it was probably within 5 minutes of clocking in. I was like, oh, you know, I'm going to go check and see how the carts are doing, you know, because something just to check on.
Right.
And an associate was flagging me down, and I was like, uh-oh, this isn't good. And I was like, what's up? He's like, an old lady's purse just got stolen. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, no way. I was like, where'd the guy go? He's like, he ran outside. So I was like, all right. So I went outside, and there was a bit of a crowd of people out there just kind of standing around, and I was like, well, which way did the guy go? And they're like, he ran down the side of the building, and I was like, all right, and I just took right off. I didn't, without thinking, I just went. And so I go running down the side of the building, look to my left, I didn't see anybody, and I was like, where could someone run? It just happened. And I look to my right, and I see, you know, one person running down the back parking lot. He had a purse in his hand, and I was like, oh, you know, there he is. So I went sprinting down the parking lot. He started to walk, and I was able to catch up, and I grabbed him from behind, and I, you know, he started fighting me a little bit, and I was like, look, just give me the purse. I'll let you go. I won't call the cops. And he's like, let me go, let me go. And I was like, look, just give me the purse, do what's right, and I'll let you go. And, you know, after a bit, he was like, all right, here's the purse, just take it, let me go. And I was like, no, I'm not letting you go. I was like, you just stole an old lady's purse. I was like, I'm going to call the cops. So I got 911 on, and, you know, I started talking to them. And out of the, it was the weirdest thing that ever happened. I never thought this would happen.
So what did your manager tell you right after it happened when you brought the purse back and gave it to the old lady?
Oh, he was like, thank you. I went over there, and I was like, I got the purse back. And he was like, nice job. You know, he was like, awesome. And so he was, you know, more than grateful. And the lady, she was, oh, my gosh, she was beyond grateful. I mean, she had, you know, I think she had quite a bit of money in there. She must have had cards, ID. And, you know, for someone to lose that, that's, you know, that's a big hit on them. You know,
yeah.
So I was glad to, you know, retrieve it back to her.
So when did you find out you were in trouble for this good deed?
So it was about 2 days later. They were like, oh, you know, the manager needs to have a talk with you. And I was like, all right, you know, I already knew what it was about. I was like, obviously it's this. So, you know, I walk into the office and they're like, so obviously I think you know why you're here. I was like, yeah, I know. I, you know, chased after the person, you know, I understand I broke some rules. Didn't really think about them at the time. I was just kind of like, hey, you know, lady's purse got stolen. I just kind of snapped into gear and went after it. And they were like, well, you know, headquarters is, you know, they're not happy with it. So we're going to have to suspend you, but we'll see what we can do, you know, that you don't get fired or anything.
Headquarters is not happy with you. You got them some good publicity on the TV stations and in the newspapers probably, right?
Oh, yes, I did. And so a week later, I get a call. They're like, all right, the investigation's done. I was like, all right, you know. I was like, I had a good feeling I was fired, but I was like, I had a little bit of hope. I was like, what place would go out and just be like, oh, you're fired. You know, you went out of your way. You know, you got this old lady's purse back, so we're going to fire you for it. But, you know, I went into the office, and like, unfortunately, we're going to have to let you go. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, That's ridiculous.
You've been working there 4 years, Amir. You're only 20 years old, so you've been working there when you were in high school, right?
I was, yeah. It was my first job when I was in high school. I started when I was 16. I started off as just a bagger. I was pushing carts and bagging. And a few months later, you know, they were like, hey, we have a position open as a shift leader. You've been showing some good traits. Now you're showing up on time. You're working hard. You're dedicated. You know, is that something you'd be interested in? And I was like, yeah. I'd love to take that position. So I was a shift leader for all four of those years, and I was able to get trained in many other departments, such as the kitchen, the deli, Hannaford to go. And this March of this year, I was actually employee of the month for, you know, good dedication, hard work, showing up on time, covering shifts.
Now you're the ex employee of the month.
Exactly. I'm yep. September's ex-employee of the month.
So have you got a new job? Have you found a new place to work?
I did. As soon as I got put on suspension, I was like, you know, I had that feeling I was going to get fired. So I started kind of looking around for a new job because, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, live without a job. So
no kidding.
So I contacted some people I knew, and luckily up in South Hero, Heroes Haulers, the guy's name is Zeb Snow. He was like, yeah, I'd be honored to take you part of the team and, you know, have you work for my company. And so within a few days, you know, I was a part of his company.
So what's the name of the place where you went, just so people can patronize it? Because I know a lot of our listeners up there are, you know, feel bad that you lost your job for doing the right thing by somebody. Where do you work now?
Oh, yeah, no. I work at Heroes Haulers.
Heroes Haulers, okay.
Hero Haulers. It's a garbage company, and they do some construction, but he's trying to expand into, like, you know, a big full garbage company, you know, get all the islands, you know, South Hero, North Hero, Grand Isle, Alberg, Iowa, and then from there he's going to try to expand throughout the state. But, you know, he just started off, and my brother actually works for him, so I was able to, you know, that was like a quick contact.
Are you angry at Hannaford's for firing you?
At first I was, you know, I was like, this is ridiculous. But, you know, I quickly came to forgiveness. I was like, you know, I understand this rules. You know, I forgive them for what they did, but I'm definitely, you know, I'm very disappointed, and, you know, I'm just disappointed. You know, all those hours of hard work, you know, pushing cuts after hours, you know, hard dedication, and then to corporate, you're just a number. They don't care what you do. They just want the money in the end. That's all.
978 just texted me. I was at a Hannaford's in New Hampshire yesterday. They had not one but two security guards patrolling the store looking for people without masks. Were there any security guards at this store in Essex that could have stopped this, or were they too busy looking for mask scofflaws?
You know, it's kind of funny because Hannaford's has asset protection.
Yeah.
But for some reason, at our store, you know, it's like I rarely see them. I mean, I'm sure they do something, but that day they weren't present at the time. And if you're going to pay these people, you might as well have them. I mean, I don't know where they were. But
let me ask you this: was this guy? They've arrested this guy. The cops, they found him, so they must have had some surveillance video. Was he wearing a mask?
I believe not. I don't think he was.
Really? That was a mistake on his part, huh?
Yes, it was, right? That would have covered you up. But a weird thing about it is that individual, 2 weeks ago, he stole a car and got in a bad accident, and he actually passed away.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah, he is.
Wow. So there's some divine justice here anyway.
Exactly.
You're not going to have to testify against him and lose a day's pay.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be laughing. But
it's all right.
You know, I saw this story in the New York Post, and this got like tons of hits. People are really into this story, Amir. They really feel bad for you.
Yeah, I never in a million years would I have thought it would have blown up this big. I mean, I was just kind of like, you know, I'll put a post out there because what's the worst that can happen? I'm sure, you know, some people around Essex will hear about it. You know, I'll go on with my daily life. And then next thing you know, I got messages from, you know, Texas, California, Kansas, you know, Fox News is getting in touch with me. And I'm like, wow. I was like, I don't know what to say.
Well, listen, Amir, we want you to have a T-shirt or two from the Howie Carr Show. Talk to Grace when you get off the air, and she'll send you a couple of T-shirts from our show. And we really appreciate it. And thanks for doing the right thing by the old lady. Ultimately, this will be good for you. You know, so some good will come out of this, I think.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I'm hoping, you know, more people can. You know, they'll see this story and they'll say, you know, oh, we want to do more good acts in the community. You know, this day and age, you know, we're going through some tough times right now, you know, a lot of protests and stuff going on. And I hope things just kind of start to see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel.
All right. Amir Shadyak, thanks for being with us. And someone just says, I live in the islands. I'm calling Heroes Haulers tomorrow. That's good. I'm glad that, you know, this, it'll bring some business to his new company. All right. You know, the best way to listen to anything in this time of troubles when you have to spend so much time cooped up with your coworkers or maybe your significant others or your spouse or somebody else, you need a pair of premium wireless earbuds so you can listen to your music or your podcasts and your person that you're in close contact with, in close quarters with, can listen to his or her own music. It's great to have a pair of premium wireless earbuds, especially if you can get them at less than half the price of the other guys. That's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon is a great product. I got some last spring. I liked them so much. I got some for Grace for her birthday. She liked them so much. She got some for her dad for Father's Day. Now everybody in her family just about has the Raycons. Her father's probably listening to me right now on his Raycon earbuds walking around. It's great. You don't bother anybody. There are no more fights, no more turn that down, or I don't like that, or how many of those podcasts about true crime can you listen to? None of that stuff. Everybody's got their own thing. Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, a more compact design, a noise-isolating fit. Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, no dangling wires or stems. The company was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Brandy, J.R. Smith, and Mike Tyson are obsessed with their products. Give them a try. Raycon has a 45-day free return policy, so you can make sure they're the pair of wireless earbuds for you. Now, for a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/Howie. I'm Howie Carr.
Howie Carr. You can trust him. He's not like the others.
This is Kevin from Brockton.
This is Karen from Boiling Springs, South Carolina.
This is Officer Mark calling from beautiful Stratford County, New Hampshire. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
We're going to tweet out a link to that story in the New York Post on Amir Shadyac. I forgot to tell you, too, that he's also a part-time volunteer firefighter. So this is a good kid, and he ran into some problems. And we were just looking up, the guy that he took the purse back from is now dead. They got a GoFundMe page going for him, but I don't think they got one going for Amir. All right. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Good thing Roman makes treating erectile dysfunction simple, safe, and from the comfort of your own home. Get a free online evaluation today at GetRoman.com/Howie. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of erectile dysfunction treatment. GetRoman.com/Howie. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Who do you think President Trump should nominate to the Supreme Court? Amy Coney Barrett or Barbara Lagoa?
Barbara Lagoa, even though Jeb has endorsed her, I'm not going to hold that against her. What is it?
43% say Barbara Lagoa.
Okay. And the other, Amy Coney Barrett, the fact that she sided with Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, that's not good. But, anybody can have an off day, right? All right. We got a couple of cuts from the president of the United States. You know, it's very interesting that when Biden was making his speech today, I think in Pennsylvania again, it's close by. He could take a nap on the way and wake refreshed from Wilmington. He had 2,000 people watching the live stream on his website, on his YouTube site. 2,000 people. President Trump just now had 48,000 on just one of the sites. I mean, there's several sites that show President Trump. Jared was watching it on Right Side Broadcasting. That's where usually where I listen to it at night, the speeches, because there are no breaks. 48,000 versus 2,000. And I'm sure Trump had other sites on YouTube that were broadcasting it. But anyway, before he left on Air Force One, he went to the chopper on the White House lawn. And he was talking about RBG's purported last words.
Words, supposedly the last wishes of Justice Ginsburg, were made up. So this supposedly came from her granddaughter.
Yeah, it just sounds to me like it would be somebody else. I don't believe. It could be. It could be, and it might not be, too.
Yeah, whatever she said, does the Constitution make specific mention of anything about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's last wishes have to be observed by whoever's in the Oval Office at the time? I don't think so.
Trump also went on to say it just seemed a little too convenient.
It seemed a little too Bob Woodward and Bill Casey, deathbed confessions. I like to have a court stenographer or police stenographer there when you're taking down these last will and testaments, you know? So anyway, this was just a few minutes ago in Vandalia. I guess he was at the airport. That's where the Dayton airport is. And he was talking about how Biden tends to sometimes get lost.
You ever notice where Biden goes out and he always picks the wrong location? Like if he's in Ohio, it's great to be in the state of Florida. Then he looks around and he doesn't see too many palm trees. He said, are we in Florida? No, you're not. He did that 7 times. How do you do that? When you do that, you just walk off the stage. It's over. There's nothing you can do. You can make the greatest remainder of the speech. There's nothing you can do to save it.
So true. So true. We'll be right back with more 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, the Department of Public Health is whispering sweet nothings in Governor Charlie Parker's ear every day, telling him what to do and how to control the virus, even though very few people are dying, and most of the people who are dying in nursing homes that are supposedly regulated by the Department of Public Health. Well, the Department of Public Health has other major scandals on its hands, and one of them is the state crime lab, the state drug labs in Jamaica Plain and in Amherst. And back a few years ago, they had two chemists, one in each place, who were falsifying drug tests, criminal drug tests. The local cops would bring in samples, and these chemists, the one in Jamaica Plain, would just make up the various analyses of the drugs. And the chemist, the State Department of Public Health chemist in Amherst, would actually ingest the drugs because she was a drug addict. A flat-out drug addict. And so there was an investigation into both of them, Annie Ducan in Boston in Jamaica Plain and Sonia Farrakh in Amherst. And Sonia Farrakh went to jail for a while about this, and they had to throw out thousands of tests. But there was an investigation supposedly conducted by the Attorney General's office of what Sonia Farrakh had done. And the investigation was totally botched and covered up by assistant attorneys general, both under Marsha Coakley and then later on under Mara Healey, the current occupant of the office. So today, this is by way of a long prologue to explain what the new news is. Today, the Board of Bar Overseers, which handles lawyer behavior, began a hearing that's going to run at least 2 weeks, maybe probably more than 2 weeks, about three lawyers. What should be done about these three lawyers? Two of whom still have high-paying state jobs, one for $128,000, another for $105,000, and whether or not they should be disciplined up to disbarment. And one of the people who's been following this case, who's been a lawyer for one of the defendants who was railroaded and has just got a new trial, is Jim McKenna. And I wanted to have him on just to explain what's happening here. This case is very complicated, but I wrote a column about it yesterday in the Herald, and I've written columns about it before, and it's just outrageous misconduct. But these people still have jobs working for liberal Democrat politicians who claim to care about Black Lives Matter and, you know, the man and systemic racism and all this stuff. And this is a case where the majority of the victims are people of color. And there seems to be little or no interest in the media or the political establishment about this. Jim McKenna, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Howie Carr, thank you for having me on. And great work with that column over the weekend. You made a point in that, which goes to your last point right now. No one named Trump was involved in the scandal. So there's not much coverage at all.
Yeah, they don't care. But there's like 5,000 people were railroaded here. At least 5,000, right?
The last number I've heard in terms of convictions that have been vacated is 61,000. And based upon the decision from earlier this month, another 5,000 convictions are going to go away. And the remarkable thing is, Farrakh was out in Amherst, Ducan in Boston, but before Farrakh went to Amherst, she worked with Ducan in Boston, and nobody has investigated what she did there.
And also they were also doing AIDS tests, right? HIV tests.
Farrakh did that for a year and a half, and during the time she was doing that, from what our evidence indicates, what the court has found, she's also doing drugs. So the 20,000 or so HIV tests she conducted while in Boston should not be deemed reliable, because this character was doing LSD or meth or whatever she could get while she was testing drugs. And we know she was doing drugs before she even became part of the lab. So it's basically a debacle.
And you know, people say, you know, people were commenting on my column yesterday on the message board saying, well, you know, at least nobody went to prison over this. But people did go to prison over this, didn't they?
Oh, yes, they did. You spoke a couple years back about a gentleman named Roderick Johnson who had a cashew that Dukin said was crack, and he did time. Sued Dukin, got a couple $1 million judgment.
Good luck. Collect. Right. Yeah, but you know, the thing is, they give you, when they catch you doing something like this, they usually tell you, well, we'll give you a probation or continued without a finding, because the guy's a small-time drug dealer. But this guy knew he hadn't sold him a rock of cocaine. It sold him a cashew. So he tried to fight the case, and this woman comes in, who's, by the way, lying about her credentials. She doesn't have a master's degree. She's not a master chemist or anything like that. And she says that the cashew was crack cocaine, and he went to prison for a year and a half.
Exactly. And the result of her being able to lie about the number of tests she did meant she could produce incredible numbers of results. If you're not doing the tests, you're just writing out the results, you can get a lot of results reported. And so she had huge numbers, but Farrakh had more.
And you know, here's another thing I saw when I was reading the petition by the Board of Bar Overseers. There was a state police, now he's a detective lieutenant, his name is Ballou. And I never read anything like this before, Jim McKenna. Maybe you have, but they said if this guy were a lawyer, we'd be going after him too.
I've never seen anything like that either. You're absolutely right. It's completely unprecedented.
But the key is, the kicker is, this guy Ballou, he's making $172,000 a year. The Board of Bar Overseers says that he was basically taking part in this conspiracy to cover up this exculpatory evidence against thousands of defendants, and he's still making $172,000 a year.
And nobody's doing a thing. If it weren't for the BBO, no one would do anything about any of this. But the BBO stepped up and they're doing this, and it's fantastic that they are,
Yeah, but what are they going to do ultimately, Jim? I mean, how was the, I was just looking at some of the few stories that have been posted on it. And one of the charged lawyer says it was an honest mistake. You got to read Judge Carey's decision, or my column about Judge Carey's decision, to see how much of an honest mistake you think it was.
He considered the mistake to be fraud upon the court. And he spoke about the lack of a moral compass of the people who made the honest mistake. They stopped an investigation in 2013. They just stopped it. We took this to the SJC in 2015. In 2015, the court said, you have to investigate this. And the result then was an investigation in which the Attorney General investigated only what Farrakh had done in Amherst, not what she did in Boston, not at Jamaica Plain. The result of that is that now every case in which Farrakh tested evidence in Jamaica Plain is subject to being thrown out, every one of them. And there are at least 5,000 people.
And so if the case is thrown out, probably the defendants have recourse to a civil action against the Commonwealth, right?
They may well. And last month, in July, we were able to get disclosed from under a protective order an email sent by a consultant to the Inspector General, to the Inspector General's office during the investigation, in which he said, you should look at these seven chemists at this lab. One of them was Farrakh, and none of the seven were investigated. This is just beginning. That whole part of the case.
And how many of these people are still working at the Department of Public Health, which has basically shut down the state's economy and ruined the economy of the Commonwealth?
My understanding is there are two still there.
Two left from the golden era,
right.
The Dukin Farrakh era.
I'm not sure what they're testing, but they're not testing drugs.
Let's talk about Mara Healey, because she wants to be the governor, and she's trying desperately to keep out of this, and that's why I think the Globe has given this thing a good leaving alone, because they're on her team. She was not the attorney general while most of this was going on, but she became the attorney general in early 2015, so her fingerprints are on a lot of this, aren't they?
she was told by the SJC in 2015, you should look at this. You should look at what Farak did. And she didn't. And because she didn't, directly because she didn't, 5,000 convictions are going to go away. One has gone away, my client, earlier this month, and the other 4,999 are all attributable to her failure to investigate, every one of them.
And for those of you who wonder what Mara Healy did, at one point she filed a motion to seal all the evidence basically against her office. And then she filed a second motion to seal the motion to seal the evidence against her office.
And they fought as hard as they could to keep the grand jury minutes from getting disclosed. These were the grand jury minutes in which Farak talked about doing the HIV testing, as well as her drug use. But they should have been notifying people in 2015, after Farak said this, after she testified about the HIV problem, that, well, you know, there's potentially a problem with your test in that somebody who did this was using whatever they could find, whatever drugs they could find. But rather than let people know, they tried to bury the grand jury minutes.
Farak testified, correct me if I'm wrong here, Jim, but one day she didn't have any of the stuff she preferred, which was obviously the heroin, cocaine, opioids. So she took some LSD that was confiscated, and she started having a bad trip. And she had some wind chimes in her window, and the wind chimes were blowing, and she thought she was being attacked or something, but she was still doing the drug tests that day. So she was totally gone. And she's doing drug tests that are, and again, you can say these people are guilty, or most of them were guilty. Maybe they were, but that's not how you put people in jail. Because if they can do that to some guy on the street in Holyoke, they can do it to you too.
Exactly. She was still testing. She couldn't drive home because of the LSD, but she's still testing. And people are going to jail because of the results. Completely outrageous.
And people wonder why, Jim, why I'm so skeptical of anything that the Department of Public Health says about the virus.
Yes, yes.
It's the same department.
Exactly.
And also the same department that didn't do anything about the New England compounding pharmacy sending out poison around the country.
And this is what we've got for COVID, for drug lab, the whole thing.
So if people want to learn more about this case, where should they go? Isn't there, there's a Netflix documentary, right?
There is one. And it, How to Fix a Drug Lab Scandal. That covered the first part of the problem, up to where they first caught Farak. I will say that when they tried to bury this, it almost worked. The way it didn't work was a heroic attorney named Luke Ryan, and Netflix does a great job covering what he did, tracked down evidence that was in Farak's car. Now, Farak was a slob. This evidence was from 2011. They arrested her in 2013. It's still in the mess in her trunk. If that evidence was not there, we wouldn't be talking about this. This whole thing would have been buried and gone. But because Luke Ryan tracked down that evidence, which happened to still be there,
And she was arrested, by the way, in her car outside the courthouse in Springfield. She was testifying that day, but she was taking a lunch break. But for her, it was a crack cocaine break.
Right. Right. Exactly. And that car was a mess, obviously. But if that hadn't been there, this case would have been buried.
Yeah. Let's see here. I'm a cop. Here's 413. I'm a cop who was in the middle of the whole thing. I was sitting in the bench next to her waiting to testify when the troopers came for her. I'm actually being sued with the assistant AGs you wrote about. I'd love to talk with you. We'll call this guy. I'll call this guy in the morning. Jim McKenna, we'll let you go, and we'll be talking to you more about as this thing goes on in the next couple of weeks.
Thank you, Howie. Take care.
Thanks. That's Jim McKenna. He's the lawyer for one of the victims, I should say. An alleged drug dealer, but he was framed. You can't frame people, whether they're the president of the United States or just some guy on the street. I'm Howie Carr.
He didn't come here to be made sport of. Howie Carr.
This is Deb in Danielson, Connecticut.
This is Greg in Boston, Mass.
This is Elizabeth in Wakefield, Massachusetts, and this is the Howie Ka Show.
Somebody said we don't like his personality. I said, I always thought I had a good personality. They don't like my personality. Who the hell cares about my personality? Right? Got to get the job done.
Exactly. Josh, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Josh.
Thanks, Howie, for taking my call. I just want to say I'd like to see how the Democrats, under their real leader, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, backtalks a Cuban-American judge who could become the next Supreme Court justice under Barbara Lagoa. I mean, if the Democratic Party really cares about Hispanics, I'd like to see how they defend her or attack her.
You know, though, Josh, it's not so much about race or anything else. It's about whether you're on the team, right? I mean, look at Clarence Thomas. Look what they did to Clarence Thomas. Look what they did to Rick Grenell. You know, he's gay, right? They don't. It's if you're on the team, you know, and Biden or Elizabeth Warren, you can't get any whiter than them, and they're protected because they're Democrats. That's the thing. I would like to see him go after her too, just for just to see how people would react, especially down in Miami, you know, the Cuban American community. But I think Trump's pretty solid with those guys, especially with Kamala Harris. All the nice things she said about Fidel Castro when he died. 844-500-4242. Let's play the cut of John Bolton about John. This is Trump tonight.
How about the idiot John Bolton? I mean, he comes in, all he wants to do is go to war with everybody. If I listened to that idiot, we'd be right now in World War V. Sir, we saw some movement in China. I think we should go to war with them. And I think Russia, let's do them both at the same time. Let's also go in right now to North Korea.
And then he had some words for one of his favorite straw men, one of his favorite cartoon character punching bags. I refer, of course, to the fake Indian.
But had Elizabeth Warren left and been loyal to her communist ideology, you say socialist, but it's communist. It's pretty close. It's maybe somewhere in between, heading toward the C word. But had she left before Super Tuesday, Biden would have lost every state.
Trump forgets that she lost Massachusetts to Joe Biden. She actually finished third in her home state of Massachusetts. 603 says, Mr. T's personality, who cares? He's getting the job done. Exactly. And he's right, too. You know, you have no choice, ultimately. The choice is, do you want to pass on the same America that your parents and grandparents passed on to you, the freedom, the liberty, law and order, a nation of laws, not men? Or do you want to have Venezuela? Because that's where the Democrats would take us sooner rather than later. I'm Howie Carr.